Thank you for listening to this sermon from MCA Church. If you'd like to learn more about what's going on in our community, head to our website at mcachurch.ca. Thanks for listening.
It's been my understanding that you folks have been going through a series of finding Jesus on every page. This is super exciting to me. When Pastor Keith invited me to come and share, and he told me the theme you guys have been going through, I was like, has anybody done Leviticus yet? It's like, no. I'm like, shoddy! So, I'm super excited this morning to talk to you about finding Jesus in the book of Leviticus. Now, the book of Leviticus is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I kid you not. So, if you've read the Bible, the whole thing, you maybe have stumbled across the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. It's a bit dry. Leviticus is a book of law. It's pretty much a user manual for the Levites, who were the priests who served God in the temple. They were the sons of Aaron, from the heritage of Levi. Levi, Levites, Leviticus, Levitical law. That's where that comes from. So, the law in the book of Leviticus is, it's all about how to make unclean things clean. There were sacrifices that would be made and certain rituals that would be done in order to clean things. This went from cleaning houses that were infected with mold, to cleaning bowls, to cleaning people after they had touched a dead body, to cleaning people after they had sinned against God or against their neighbor. It's all here, different procedures for different types of sacrifices, depending on what sin it was, what needed to be cleansed, what day it was, what holiday we were on. It's all different. If somebody couldn't afford the proper sacrifice, there was a reduced rate, and there was that whole thing. So there's things about how to dispose bodies properly, which parts of the sacrifice you were to, like exactly how to kill the animal and what parts to burn and what parts to not burn, and some real gems in there. I listen to the audio Bible, that's how I consume most of my Bible. And so whenever I think about the book of Leviticus, it's narrated by this British man, and whenever I think about Leviticus, all I can hear in my mind is the long lobe of the liver. So it's not exactly literary gold in here. Check this one out. This is what we'll be learning from today. Leviticus 14. We're going to go verse 2 to verse 7. Brace yourselves. This is going to be good. The following instructions are for those seeking ceremonial purification from a skin disease. Those who have been healed must be brought to the priest, who will examine them at a place outside of the camp. If the priest finds that someone who has been healed of a serious skin disease, he will perform a purification ceremony using two live birds that are ceremonially clean, a stick of cedar, some scarlet yarn, and a hyssop branch. Good, right? Wait, it gets better. The priest will order that one bird be slaughtered over a clay pot filled with fresh water. He will take the live bird, the cedar stick, the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop branch, and he will dip them into the blood of the bird that was slaughtered over fresh water. The priest will then sprinkle the blood of the dead bird 7 times on the person being purified of the skin disease. When the priest has purified the person, he will release the live bird into the open field to fly away. You could read this stuff for hours. This is good. There's some other gems in here. What about Leviticus 1? Okay, just so that we get more. What about this? Leviticus 1, starting verse 5. Then slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence. And Aaron's son, the priest, will present the animal's body by splattering against all sides of the altar and stands at the entrance of the tabernacle. Then skin the animal and cut it into pieces. And then it goes on about exactly which parts to burn and which not. There's so much of this. You can really get into this stuff, guys. But But did you see him? Did you catch a glimpse? Did you see the Christ? Suspend your imaginations with me for just a few moments. Just a few moments. Let me capture your imaginations as we dive a couple hundred years forward. As Jesus sat on a mountainside, the sun high in the sky, surrounded by his disciples, people crowding at the base of the mountain. Matthew 5 records as Jesus speaks out over the people and he says, "Do not misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." The sun was going down. It had been an unbelievably long day. Jesus had preached all day to the crowd. Matthew, he'd been there the whole time, furiously writing notes. He was right there with Jesus, so close, front row, two spots down. There's a bit of a hierarchy with the disciples. There are 12 of them, and they're all vying for the top. And the closer you sat to Jesus, the closer you were to the top. And the crowd was below the foot of the hill. Where Matthew sat there scribbling his notes, he could see their keen faces eagerly looking forward, leaning in, soaking up the words of Jesus as he spoke. He spoke about salt and light. He spoke about divorce. He spoke about blessed are you when for ages. The crowd was below, intrigued, curious, confused, some angry, so many different reactions. When Jesus finally was done talking, the sun was going down. Matthew scribbled on the top of the scroll, the Sermon on the Mountain, and quickly and rolled it up because Jesus was on the move. Matthew quickly following, trying to get as close as he can, sticking in that nice spot behind Jesus, not wanting to sacrifice his spot. They start making their way down the hill. And as Matthew went down the hill, he noticed that the crowd that was dispersing, they were all going away, but there was one body moving towards them. And the whole crowd made a gap. They just moved out of the way. And Matthew tried to wonder what was happening. And the closer he got, he wondered, is this like an important person? Is this a rich person? Everybody's making this wide berth around this person. The one person coming this way as everybody else is leaving. And they go closer. And then when the guy gets within 20 feet, Matthew notices. Suddenly he knows why they've been giving him a large berth. Matthew 8 tells us about how the man with leprosy approached Jesus that day. Matthew instinctively puts his hand up to his nose, begin covering it with his shirt. Oh, gross, leprosy. Horrible skin disease rotting right off your body while you're still alive. Oh, Matthew is like, what a horrible, horrible consequence of the fall. Special kind of torture, this disease. Oh, people with leprosy would always have to stay outside of the city. They weren't allowed in the temple. They weren't allowed there because they were unclean. And people with leprosy, they'd have to shout out to people as they went by, unclean, unclean, so that people would know and not get too close so that they wouldn't become unclean as well. Matthew wrinkled his nose. Oh, I didn't even like looking at the guy. It was disgusting. Made him feel sick. The man with leprosy continued to walk forward. He was coming right for him, making a beeline for Jesus. Most of the disciples backed away a couple of steps. Matthew saw his opportunity. Everybody else was backing away. If he stuck close to Jesus, he could maybe move up a spot. But Jesus was getting awfully close to that guy with leprosy. So he stayed put. Not moving forward, not moving away. He was just close enough so that he could hear the man with leprosy speak. Because the man called out, "Lord, if you are willing, I could be made clean." And then Matthew's jaw dropped as he watched as Jesus began smiling and he moved forward. And Matthew wanted to cringe as Jesus reached forward with his perfect, clean hand, and he touched the man with leprosy. Matthew couldn't believe it. Did Jesus have a death wish? What was going on? That is disgusting. He wouldn't be able to go in the temple for the next week. He would have to do all of the procedures. That's, what is he doing? And Jesus just smiles as he touches this man who has never been touched. He looks him dead in the eyes and he says, "I am willing. Be clean." And in that moment, everything changed, for the man was transformed before their eyes, completely cleansed, like new skin, like a baby's bottom. He was absolutely pure, clean. In that moment, something bigger happened than just a man who had leprosy not having leprosy in that moment. In that moment, the entire Levitical law, everything that we know about the nature of mankind, is when something clean touches something that's dirty, the clean thing is now dirty as well. But in this moment, for the first time ever in history, something clean touched something dirty. And instead of him becoming dirty, the man with leprosy became clean. Just like that. Can you remember his words? "Do not misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I have come to accomplish their purposes." The man with leprosy looked at his new body and was in absolute awe, shivers all over him. And Jesus spoke to him. He said something curious. Jesus said, "See that you say nothing to anybody about this. But instead, go to the temple and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for proof that you have been cleaned." Imagine if he did. It doesn't tell us. Matthew, we continue to walk through Matthew's eyes, watching Jesus go about. But imagine if we stop. Imagine if we actually follow that man who had just been cleansed from leprosy. Imagine he actually did go and do what Jesus told him to do. What if he went to the temple? And what if he did the procedure that he was supposed to do? The sacrifice for someone who had been cleansed of leprosy, of a skin disease. That's Leviticus 14. That's what we just read. So imagine that the healed man does go. Imagine that he goes to the temple. And he would have been poor, but imagine he takes his last few coins and he buys those two birds. And he takes them in a cage and he takes them to the priest. And imagine him standing there looking in this temple, this place he would have never been allowed to go before, taking it all in. Imagine what if. What if he did it? What if the priest opened up that cage with those two birds and reached in and grabbed one and then walked over to a jar filled with water? And an expert practice of somebody who's done this 1,000 times wrings the neck of the bird and the blood pours in. Imagine if the priest then went ceremoniously and grabbed the little bit of scarlet fabric, a little bit of wood, a little branch of hyssop, puts it in the bowl, goes back, opens the cage, gets the one bird that's still alive, catches it in his hands, dips it in the bowl, and then walks back over to the window and sets the bird free. Now imagine, now I'm really going to pull you along. Because imagine we leave the healed man there celebrating. Imagine we follow that little bird. Wing tipped with red, thankful to be alive. The bird flitters off, super excited, goes out, chirps, sings, builds a nest, has little baby birds, feed them. One season goes by, another season goes by. At one point, maybe the nest gets thrown from the tree when a short little man was climbing it one day. He builds another nest. It's okay. Imagine that this little red-winged bird was out foraging for food one day when he heard a big commotion. What if our little bird made its way to a branch and was looking over the city square when it was in a big uproar as we land in Matthew 27? Imagine if that little bird was looking down at the big crowd screaming, and what if he looked up above them and saw that there were two men in chains? Caged. Would it feel like deja vu? Would it feel like deja vu for that little bird as one is taken and the other is set free? Would it feel like deja vu for that little bird as Jesus was taken? They wrapped him in a scarlet robe, wasn't it? And they take Jesus in his scarlet robe and they hang him on a wooden cross. There's one more piece to the ceremony, isn't there? You see, but Jesus, while he was hanging on the cross, he got thirsty, didn't he? Didn't he get thirsty? And they took a sponge soaked in sour wine and they put it on a branch of hyssop. And after they gave him this drink that he rejected, Jesus said, "It is finished." Leviticus 14, made human size in the life and person of Jesus. Whoa. I told you this book was good. It seems random. It seems, what are they doing? These ceremonies, these different random things. But Jesus said, "I came not to abolish the law, but to accomplish its purposes." Because you see, Jesus being the one clean thing, the one sinless man, when he came into this world, everything that he touched became clean. And he's still about that work today. And it is good. Remember the man with leprosy? How he came to Jesus and he said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." This is the message I have for you today. This is the message I have for my young people. Jesus wants to make you clean. I'm going to invite you to let him reach his hand down and touch you this morning. I invite you to just shut your eyes. I want you to imagine yourself just standing at the base of a mountain, and Jesus is walking towards you, and he's smiling. And you say to him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me." Take a moment to imagine the smile on his face. Watch as he reaches his hand forward and puts his hand on your shoulder as he says, "I am willing. Be clean."